Okay, anybody else?
Wednesday night, we started a thought from Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to continue that thought tonight, talking about let's grow. And to grow, there has to be a change. You have to change, and I have to change. We have to change to grow. Can't be the same old, same old. If we're not willing to change, we die spiritually in our Christian life. Our salvation is secure. It's based on Jesus Christ. That can't change. But our growth, we need to be growing. If you find yourself falling, same temptation over and over and over and over and over again, it's time for change. And not in the Bible. They say you can't teach a dog new tricks. Yes, you can. Big enough stick. And so this year, let's not make resolutions. Let's make changes. Mm-hmm. Some changes are minor. Sometimes you make a change, God allows you to hear a message or a Sunday school lesson or read a passage of Scripture in your devotions. Holy Spirit speaks to you, and it's just a little moderate change, a little turn to this side or turn to that side, and you're good. But then sometimes there's a total change. You read about a lot of the prophets in the Bible had studied to be priests. And God says, hey, great, but now you're a prophet. That's a wholesale change. Mm-hmm. You know, priest is there for the people. You know, prophet is the people hate them. And the prophets, you know, they spend a lot of time in jail. The king didn't like them. Threatened their lives. So you and I have to grow. And God tells us to grow. He says, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, there's some verses there. Philippians chapter 3. And we looked at verse 7 and 8 last week. These verses tell us three things that I want to review quickly. There has to be a change to your attitude. You have to change your attitude. God has to change your attitude. And God can change your attitude if, and I want to give you six things. I'll finish the other three tonight, but let's review. Number one, my motivation must change. In verses 7 and 8, it says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all blessings, but for the loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, Christ is mentioned twice there. Our motivation for change should be Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible teaches us to be like Christ. Amen. Christians are little Christ. You say, preacher, I want to be a model Christian. A model is a small example of the real thing. You don't want to be a small example. You want to be a light in the world. Amen? Amen. So we want to change, and we want to change to be like Christ. Nothing wrong with when the Lord comes back that we've changed, and there doesn't have to be a super amount of change. I know it will be, but we ought to be, the Bible says to go into perfection, be mature, and to be like Christ in every situation. So your motivation should be Jesus Christ. Your example is Jesus Christ. It's not another Christian.
Amen. Amen.
Your example should not be like a preacher or an evangelist or a great woman of God. Your example is Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Your example is Jesus Christ. Amen. You got a couple more amen.
Amen.
You still got that amen sound back there? Okay, now, number two, in verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, my perspective must change. How do I look at things? And you know how Paul looked at them. Everything that he had was gone. Everything that he had, he counted dung. You say, preacher, well, no big deal. That's no big deal. Well, yeah, it is big deal. All his friends changed. He sat under Gamaliel. He was in a college town. He grew up in a college town. He was a smart guy. Educated. Powerful. Moving up the chain, corporate ladder. And when he got saved, he chucked that all. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his perspective changed. You see, how I look at my life and how God looks at my life shouldn't be different.
Amen.
Right? You say, preacher, what's my lens for looking at my life? It's this.
Amen.
That's the lens. And so we've got to understand that. For me to change, I need to have a different perception. And that's I said this morning. If you sit here and you have all your finances and your education and your job and everything in order, that's a good thing. But if you don't have your spiritual life in order, that's junk.
Amen. Amen.
It's not worth anything. You're not going to stand before God and tell him, well, you know, I was this, and this is how I made this, and I had this credit rating, and I had this, and I had that. Nothing wrong with those things, but they're not spiritual.
Amen.
The perspective. Yes, keep those things in order. Have a good testimony with your finances. Have this, but do you have a testimony for Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
See? So my perspective must change. Number three, my belief in suffering must change. Paul suffered. When he got saved, he suffered. A friend of mine, his name was Ron Riley. He was a youth director, one of the best youth directors at one time in America. He was traveling all the time and preaching. Ron, and he was a lot of fun to listen to. He liked to cut up and he preached to kids. God used him in a great way. But when he got saved, his father and parent and brother spit in his face, wouldn't even walk on the same side of the road. For years he had a testimony. I remember one day we talked and he was able to lead his dad to Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
But when Paul got saved, he suffered. And let me just tell you something, folks. We don't suffer too much here in America.
Right, right.
Oh, no, I got a paper cut. Don't know what I'm going to do. We don't suffer. And let me tell you something. For you to change some things in your life, there may be some suffering. You may have to stop some things. You may have to quit the club. You may have to stop this activity or this playtime or this that. There's things that need to stop. You know, last week, there were 2 weeks, 2 weeks of black powder season for deer season. And we didn't see many deer because it was hot. And it got cold, man, and those deer were moving all over the place. And I had this viral infection. My brother called me yesterday. He said, man, they're moving over here. He said, I can't go. But he said, I went out on the property. There's tracks everywhere. And he said, you going to go this evening? I said, nope. I said, I'm not 100%. And I said, if I go out there, I got church tomorrow. That's more important. I got to be ready to preach.
Right.
Sometimes those things, and let me tell you something. You know, at one time I thought Pam was going to have to duct tape me to the chair because I wanted to go. I mean, my stuff for hunting is ready to go. Everything else may not be ready to go, but my stuff for hunting is ready to go. Amen. And so I didn't get to go. But there's sometimes we got to say, hey, I just can't.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
You might have to put the book you like to read down for the book.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And so change. Let's grow. Now let me give you. Let's look at some. Let's look at some more tonight. Now, this is exciting. This is good stuff, and it's Bible. Amen?
Amen.
But I want you to notice Number four, my focus on the outcome. My change and my attitude toward change is going to be in direct relationship to my focus on the outcome. Now look at verse 9. What's the outcome? What's verse 9 say? And be found in Him. That's the outcome. In Christ Jesus. I mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and it talks to, he said, I pray your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless. We are tripart individuals. And everything we do in life as Christians, those three need to be worked on. We, as Christians, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
My soul is saved. My spirit, my attitude needs to be right. And we need to work on all those. Those need to change. I want to give you a couple things. Change will come if I focus on the outcome. Looking unto Jesus, Paul said, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm going to be with Jesus. That's the outcome. I want to be like Him. Now, what do you do? Well, how do I start that? Well, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Say, what do you mean? Well, you know, a lot of people get, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but in January you make a resolution or you make a goal and you say, okay, I'm going to do this. Or some preacher comes and he says, bless God, you ought to read through the Bible. I read through the Bible 25 times this year. Well, he's an evangelist in a trailer and all day he can read his Bible. Right. He should read it 50 times.
Right.
He didn't do enough. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. Have you ever tried to pray for 15 minutes? After 1 minute, you peek and look at your watch and you say, man, this is going to be a long haul. You say, what do you do? You start small.
That's right.
You start somewhere. You say, preacher, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do 100 push-ups a day. Okay, put me in your will. You know, remember me. Don't forget me like the Joseph's buddy did. Here, you say, preacher, how'd I do? Start with one. You say, that's easy. Okay, start easy. And then go to two. And pretty soon, you'll be up to four. And on. You say, preacher, I bless God, I'm going to read 5 chapters of the Bible a day. Okay. Don't do it on the Beltway. but you see, you start somewhere. Challenge yourself. Make a realistic challenge. Do you understand that? What are you saying? You build up. Some guy, Brother Walter, I live down in White Plains. This Christian businessman, I played golf with him one day. They had this baby adoption sort of ministry this guy had, and every year he had a tournament. And he put me with some businessmen, and you know he liked to have one pastor with every group, and so I played and I met this guy, and I said, well, what's your business? He said, well, I've got several. I said, okay. He said, I've got a gym over there. It was back in the White Plains, back in the industrial park. And he said, here's my number. He gave me a card. He said, and here's the guy's number. He said, call me and I'll call him and you call him and he'll run you through a circuit one day. I've never lifted weights. When I played sports, lifting weights was not a big, you know, when I played baseball, they said you shouldn't lift weights. I played basketball. They said you shouldn't lift weights. Now people, you know, they walk out there and just, I'm here to pump you up, you know, and they, you know, they grab the rim and tear it down from the ceiling. And they have to replace it. You know, all these Neanderthals. And so we were back there. We were lean and mean, but we weren't cut like Atlas. So I went over there and I went in there. I said, man, you know, I'm gonna pump myself up. I'm gonna get cut. Get me a 6-pack. Of Diet Coke, no, 6-pack. And I got on that thing. Let me tell you something. He ran me through that circuit. I thought I was going to die. I said, Lord, if you'll just help me make it home, I won't do this ever again. Now, what was the problem? I didn't start small. He said, well, you want to go? I said, yeah. He kept looking at me funny, like you're an idiot. And I was an idiot. I wasn't an idiot again. I was only an idiot one time with that deal. And let me tell you something. You start, challenge yourself. Now, some of you know some things you've not been doing, some things you want to do. Are you with me?
Right.
Start, challenge yourself. Are you with me?
Amen.
Challenge yourself. Number, again, chuck your pride. That's not a very theological point, but that's the only thing I could think of. Chuck it. Put your pride aside. Because there's some things that you need to challenge yourself with that you think your wife doesn't know and she knows. You need to do that. Why? She's been harping on you to do it. There's some things that you need to challenge yourself and you need to let somebody know that's your friend and that loves you so they can keep you accountable. Chuck your pride. Are you with me?
Yes.
Chuck your pride. Put your pride aside. And then consider, listen, consider this. Consider this. Permanent versus temporary. Mm-hmm. Permanent versus temporary. Challenge yourself in things that will give you permanent rewards.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? This thought here of focusing on the outcome to be like Jesus. Listen, you say, preacher, why are you talking about physical things? I mean, well, the Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He was a man's man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he improved. Our textbook this year for homiletics is a book by Maxwell, I believe. Isn't it, Chris? It's called Many Communicate, Few Connect. Mm.
Yep.
And some of you need to work on your connecting with people so you can be a better witness. Some of you need to work on your connecting so you can teach better. Connecting with people, are you with me? Mm-hmm. Connecting with people and getting on the same page with people. Millionaires, corporate giants call people in to teach them to do that. You've got to connect. Mm-hmm. Got to connect with people. Let me just tell you something, folks. We as Christians need to look at the outcome. The outcome. Look at it. Verse 9 says, and be found in him. I want to be like Jesus. And that's going to be change. Mm-hmm. And I've got to change something every day. Every week there's something that God convicts me about something. It's got to be a challenge. Number two, look what verse 12 says. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Number two, I can change my attitude with this thought, my embracing the journey. Embracing the journey. Now, you have to say in your heart, I have not arrived. None of us. He said, Paul said, I haven't attained. I'm not perfect. I'm not mature. He said, but I'm pursuing something. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay with it. And I'm going to enjoy the ride. Embrace the journey. Failure is part of the journey to success.
Amen.
Because you're going to fail, 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 you're going to get close and you're going to fail a bunch of times before you break through. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you dwell on? Do you dwell on all those failures? No, you get excited about the success. Don't let the failures take your joy away from the journey. Every character in the Bible, including the best of the best, failed. They were not perfect. They were sinners saved by grace. As perfect as we make them on the flannel graph stories, they were still sinners. Yeah, yeah. My sister does this. Kim does this. Have you ever met somebody, they tell you about somebody, and when you listen to them while they're talking, you think, man, they can leap tall buildings at a single bound. You know, they can outrun a speeding bullet. They are the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then you meet them. You say, I don't know what she's talking about. You know, there's a lot of buildup. Are you with me? I don't know if you guys love this, but I love when they build up a team to just obliterate a team in sports. And the underdog comes out and wins. I love that. March Madness is not too far from now. Miss Creed knows I'll be glued to the TV. Don't mess with me. Keep the popcorn and everything coming. We'll be okay. Life is good. But I love those teams you've never heard of getting in there and knocking off the bigs. You know, I stayed up last night and got on Twitter. Says, how'd you like them Miami Hurricanes? They beat Duke by 2 points. I do not like Duke. I love that. You know, the underdog. And we talk, enjoy the journey, but enjoy the journey. Now, valleys are at the bottom of the mountains. So what do you do in a valley? You start up the mountain again. Are you with me? I think about embracing a journey and Paul saying, I have not attained and everything, I think about learning to ride a bike. You know, when I learned to ride a bike, I had training wheels on for about 10 minutes. You know, I just couldn't get used to riding sideways like this at an angle. That just bothered me. So what'd you do? I went to my pop-up's toolbox and took them off. My dad didn't know. My mom didn't know. The neighborhood didn't know. You said, what were you when you did? We're learning the bike. I was an accident looking for a place to happen. I ran into every car. There were dents on Brown Street cars, and I ran into fences. When I parked my bike, I didn't use a kickstand. I parked it in a rose bush. Boop, got off. One day I ran through and ran a thorn right up through there. I slipped off the pedal one time and cut my head on the handlebars. I did everything. If I told you some, I can't tell you some of the things in mixed company what happened to me. But there are crazy things that happened with me riding a bike. I beat myself to death. When I learned to ride a bike, I'm coming down Brown Street. I'm sitting there going, what's up? Without my hands on the handlebar, you know, popping wheelies. We got these boards and made jumps, about killed ourselves. We splattered ourselves all over that street. But I learned to ride a bike. You know, some people said, well, you know, it's just like riding a bike. Well, when you say just like riding a bike, I think that all those times I skint myself, I got cuts and bruises all over, scars. You know, I got more scars than body. And so I got more scars than anybody in here, I bet. But riding a bike. But, you know, I think about that time and all those times. And, you know, I thought, you know, I was not a depressed kid. I enjoyed that. I had fun. Learning to defend myself. I came in one day. Y'all remember that story I told about defending myself? Remember I told you? I came into the house one day, and I was crying because they wouldn't let me play on a team or something. Or somebody did something to me. You remember what my dad did? He spanked me. And he said, don't let anybody take advantage of you. So I didn't. Next day I went up and I walked up to everybody that was giving me a hard time. I walked right up to them and said, hey, how you doing? Boom! I was restricted from the whole neighborhood. But you know, when somebody wanted to mess with me, I was going to knuckle to knuckle with them. Okay? Amen. I learned to defend myself. And to Come think of it, I enjoyed that. Every once in a while. The one thing that really I look back on was I was playing in Elkton, Maryland, behind Main Street, down in the bottom, there are baseball fields, 3 or 4 baseball fields. And one field was the minor league field, one field was the little league field, and one field was the senior league field. And there were baseball games going on all the time. You all have seen that before. And so here I come out in my uniform. You know how the uniforms were back there. Baggy pants and socks with the stirrups. And you thought you were big, and you were chewing gum and slobbering it all over yourself and talking. So I played on this team, and I was on this team, and I got up there, and I was pitching, and it was going all over the place. You know, I was lucky I didn't send anybody to the hospital. And I'd get up the bat, I'd struck out. My dad was in the crowd watching. So I got home. So the next day, he got me and said, "Hey, come on backyard." I said, "Okay, Dad." He said, "Get your mitt." He got his mitt. He said, "Okay, I'm going to teach you." He taught me to wind up. He said, "Now, I don't want you to do anything but keep your eye on that target and just throw at the mitt as hard as you can." And I'd wind up and do that. And every night he'd come out. About halfway through the week, he had a friend of his come out with me and him, and we went down to the minor league. Nobody was on the field, and he had a bat and ball, and he said, "Okay, Pat, we're going to show you how to hit." And he sat there and he pitched to me. He said, "Now I want you to step into the ball, keep your eye on the ball, go through the ball." And so we played the same team that next Saturday. And I pitched. I wind up, boom, boom, got. Coach said, "Where'd that come from?" I got up the bat. I almost knocked the pitcher down when I got up the bat. He said, "What's the difference?" My dad taught me. I got to play baseball. I got to throw no-hitters when I was pitching in Little League. I got to hit grand slams and everything. You say, "Well, how'd that happen?" The journey. Mm-hmm. And you know who I had to thank for it is Dad.
Amen.
Now, you have stories like that. You have stories where you've learned things. You understand what I'm saying? And you fail, and that tells you, I've got to learn. But it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't get to where you are today. You don't, and listen, we're in a world that people like to skip steps. We get in a world that you can have a manager in your job, and they're managing you, but they have no idea what you're doing. Mm-mm. They don't know how to do what you're doing. They have no clue.
That's true.
Why? Because they know somebody. Yeah. Well, let me just say, as Christians, we're on a journey. We're on a journey to attain something that is precious and wonderful, and that's living for Jesus and influencing people for God. Mm. And we need to enjoy the journey. Set a goal and embrace the journey. Change begins. Do you realize that some psychologists say that it takes 21 days to change to get a habit going? 21 days. You know, that's almost a month. What are you saying? Embrace the journey. Embrace the journey. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy what you're doing. Understand, hey, I'm going to fail. When I was younger, ninth grade, I loved to play basketball. And I had this guy that played basketball for the high school, and he was tall. And he had a basketball hoop in his backyard, and he was playing one day. I said, "Hey, can we play one-on-one?" He looked at me like he was crazy. And he would beat me every time. You know, that went on for about a month. Next month, I started beating him. He's much taller than me, but I had learned. I'd practiced. You know, I went in there and went like this. I got something for him today. I got something for him. You say, why? What? She said, "Preacher, you lost all that time." Yeah, but I was getting ready for the big win. You understand what I'm saying? And so Paul Paul, listen, Paul came up against Felix, and Agrippa didn't get saved, and that, but there were a lot of people that got saved. You see? And so my focus on the outcome, my embracing the journey, and here's the, I want to finish tonight. Verse 13, what does it say? What does verse 13 say? Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now look at this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Hey, don't look back. My refusal to look back. Don't look back. Don't look. You're looking on back on past failures rob you of future victories. They do. You know, when I first started preaching, I wouldn't want to hear myself. But it doesn't matter where you are or how well you did what you did for the Lord. God used it.
Amen.
That's you know that? Yep. I told you this story. I helped with the building of the new auditorium and part of Independent Baptist Church. And years ago, when I was a senior in high school, the youth director of Newcastle Baptist Church, now I'm talking about Newcastle Baptist Church, was big. Big auditorium. Massive. And we had a youth rally every month. And so he called my uncle called me into his office. He said, there's somebody on the phone. He said, Pat, this is so-and-so. I want you to preach at our youth rally. I said, you what? You want me to do what? At where? I want you to preach at the youth rally. I said, why? He said, well, he said, you know, I met you. I watched you play basketball. I know your testimony. And I think you just preach from your heart. It'll bless the teens. And so I can't even remember what I preached. I really can't. I remember he said, now you take the invitation. I had to call my dad. How do you do an invitation? Well, you hold up, Dad. I got to write this down. Go slow. And so he said, you take the invitation. You invite people to be saved. And so I walked in. I stood up there, and I had to look down at my scripture real quick because that was massive teens. And they were all standing. They were sitting down, but they were at attention. They were looking at me. I was one of them. Teens like one of them when they preach to them. Mm-hmm. And so I preached, gave the invitation. People came forward. Well, when I was working years later, I'm helping at the helping down there, brother Abbott, down there at that building, and the steel company comes down, and I mean they had big steel. And one of the guys came up to me at lunch. He said, "Pat Creed, I remember you. I think I know you." And a cold sweat. So what have I done now? What did I do now? You know how you think. Somebody walks up, I think I've seen you here. So he said, I went to Newcastle Baptist Church. He said, back in 76, you preached a youth rally. I said, yeah, I remember that. I was scared to death. He said, I got saved at that youth rally. I did. Listen, let me tell you, I can't remember what I going. I can't remember. I don't even have the, you know, a lot of people keep that in scrapbooks, you know, and everything. I wasn't that. I'd throw a ball up, throw in the trash. That was a mess. I couldn't wait to see him on Monday. I wanted to talk to him. He died in a motorcycle crash on that weekend.
Wow.
I'll cherish that testimony forever. Amen. I'll carry that. I'll see him in heaven. So what are you saying? Don't look back. If I look back and stop preaching and not surrender to the call to preach because I didn't think that was what got any good, it doesn't matter whether you're any good or not. God is. And God can take whatever you preach and the mistakes and the grammatical mispronunciations and fallen on your face, and he can use it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to change. I want to change. You all are very gratuitous, and you tell me, I love you, Pastor, and you're a great pastor, and this, that, and the other. I don't believe it. Because I know me, and I need to change. I got so many things I need to change in my preaching. And I've got to challenge myself. My wife and I have been married, honey, probably what, 80 years? I can't hear her laughing back there. About 42, 43. I don't know. She's going to kill me. But we've been married a while. And I need to be a better husband. And I got to challenge myself. I need to be a better father. I need to be a better granddad. I want to be a better citizen. I want to be a better American. I want to be a better friend. Right? I want to be a better son to my mom and dad, and a brother to my brother and sisters. You say, why? Because I don't want to be the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. And my attitude can change that. If you're constantly changing, by the way, if you're constantly changing, I want you to understand something, and you're growing, I want you to understand somebody is watching you. Somebody chooses to watch you and watch your spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. That's why new Christians need to see Christians that are here.
Amen.
On a faithful basis.
Amen. Exactly. That's right.
That's why new Christians need to see us giving, participating. Right. They need to see us being kind and encouraging. That's the greatest example, is a picture of what a Christian should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But if you're not going to change your attitude toward change, this time next year, you're going to look back and say, I'm the same person. I haven't grown. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to change. Will you change? Will you get your eyes on Jesus and take these things to heart? Take these things to heart? You can copy my message and take it home with you if you want. I don't care. You can get the verses. Listen, God wants you to be like Jesus in everything. Physically, mentally, spiritually, in every area of your life, we need to change. Would you take the challenge? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us tonight. May we be what you need us to be. And Lord, in this day and age, there are so many people that need an example. And fact of the matter is, Lord, one reason our country is in the mess it is because of the examples are lacking. And so, Lord, I pray here with this crowd tonight, I pray that we make decisions to change. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, you want to get alone with Him, there might be one thing tonight that the Holy Spirit has pointed out in your life that needs to change. And you want to get alone with Him. And you want to just start a plan by saying, God, I hear you. And I need your help to change this. And He'll help us. He'll help us. Would you do that? Amen. You may be seated. Let's have some ushers. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless the gift and the giver according to thy will in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, mention the prayer request. Pray as we work on the calendar. We pretty much have the calendar intact. We have some main meetings during the year we want to make sure you're aware of, and so we'll put those up. We hope to print something out and get it out to you, or if you have your email in, we can send it out through Flocknote and do that. But we're working on some ladies' activities and some men's activities. So we'll slide those in, and as we can. And what I kind of want to do is get with the men and see when you can get some time when we can do some things together, and we can have maximum attendance. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll get a maximum food.
Amen. That's right. Five guys.
Amen. What did he say?
Five guys.
Pray for Marissa. Amen. Well, and so we got that up. Missions month. Remember missions month, and we've got a missions emphasis Sunday coming up. We have two missionaries with us, and so those kind of things. Of course, Master Clubs is on there, and they have the mailbox things, and we've had some winners some different times, and so, some activities and just things. The next thing on the thing is the Kids Crusade, February 4th through 6th. That'll be fun. Brother Kaiser will be a blast with these kids, and hopefully, I don't know, we can get some of these teens to help too, and get them involved. But if we can get a bunch of kids in here, and we can get a, we will have a good time with him. And so you don't have to do anything. You workers don't have to do anything. You can stand at the back. He'll make sure they stay straight. He is something. But we'll get that calendar out, and pray for a good year. Amen. Got the baptistry ordered. It's 6 to 8 weeks, and it'll set right here, so it'll look like a bigger communion table, but we can take it right off and baptize right here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so appreciate Brother Arnold working on that. Well, let's stand to be dismissed. Pray for a good week. Man, we got a lot to pray for. You know, as you get to your time to retire tonight to bed, just remember, folks, pray for folks, and pray for each other in the church. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close. Glaze, pray for us.
Dear God, we thank you so much for this time that you've given us, and help us.